So there's two men are stranded on a desert island. And after a couple of days, one of them realized it doesn't look good at all. So he turns to his mate and he says, "We're doomed. There's no water, there's no food, there's no other living person except you and me on this island. We need help." His mate looks at him, shrugs his shoulders, says, "Don't worry." So the days go by and the first man gets more and more distressed about it all. Keeps going to his mate and saying, "Look, we've got to do something. We need help." His mate says, "Don't worry. I've got a good job. I earn £50,000 a week." So the first man shakes his head and can't believe it. He says, "You know, we do need help here." Second man says, "Look, I've told you. I earn £50,000 a week." So the first man says to him, "How's that going to help us?" He says, "Well, I earn £50,000 a week and I go to church every week and I tithe 10%. The vicar will find us." I think Margaret will like that joke. Help is not always something we ask for, even though sometimes we find ourselves in situations like those two men. Desperate situation where life seems to be a bit of a struggle. Like many families, we went for a walk on Boxing Day up to Full Neck. We're down in the valley there. And apart from being up to our ankles in mud, it was fun. Paulie nearly did the splits in the mud. But halfway round the walk, one of the family received a bit of a distressing phone call on a mobile. And it put a bit of a cloud over all of us. But because it was just after Christmas, I had this song rattling round in my head all the time. "It's the most wonderful time of the year." And there's my daughter-in-law quite distressed by the phone call. So I had this, you know, "It's the most wonderful time of..." That's how I was. But that is a simple example of the struggle that exists in this world, the struggle that involves suffering. Things are going along very nicely, and then bang. And the question is asked, where is God in this? Where is God in this? And this morning, as we carry on looking at the Psalms, and in particular Psalm 124, which Margaret read, that may help provide us with some answers. But first, a bit of background. The Christmas season, of course, is long over. And the crowds that flocked here during Christmas time, I think over 1,000 in all the services, have all but disappeared. And here we are, the faithful remnant still here. And we're a bit like the faithful remnant of Israel returning from Babylon. This remnant continues to worship and offer praise and prayers to God. And again, like the remnant from Israel, that praise and prayer would have included Psalm 124, written by King David and one of the 15 Psalms of Ascent, Psalms 1 to 20 to 134, 15 Psalms of Ascent. So what are the Psalms and the Songs of Ascent? Well, the popular view is they represent the journey upwards to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is above sea level. Galilee, which the Matthew Gospel talks about, is below sea level. And in those days, the remnant, the Israelites, would have been returning from Babylon. They'd been in exile. King Nebuchadnezzar had taken them into exile. Now he'd released them, so they were coming back to Babylon. And more importantly, to the temple. Coming back to Jerusalem, but more importantly, coming to the temple in Jerusalem. Now, the temple had 15 flights of steps up to the temple courts. You can see it there. That's a modern day thing. And as they made that journey, they would have sung the 15 Psalms of Ascent, perhaps in succession, as they were ascending to be in the presence of God. It may well be that those psalms are the basis of our hymn singing today. Just as an aside, Pauline and I have made that journey, not from Babylon, but from Galilee, up from Galilee to Jerusalem. And it wasn't walking, we were in a coach. But as we entered Jerusalem, the skies darkened and it absolutely poured down and it was a lot colder. But we celebrated, like the remnant, we celebrated, we sang a hymn. And we had a glass of champagne each, which was very nice. But that was to celebrate our arrival in the city of peace, Jerusalem. Now, the journey from Babylon, where they'd been in exile, would have covered a distance of something like 1,500 miles and could have taken 4 months to complete. And that in itself would have been hard, but the 70 years they spent in exile would have been harder, a struggle that started when they were forcibly removed to live in a foreign land and culture. And the whole of Psalms captures their anguish and heartache for what once they held. They'd lost it all. I think we're all of an age when we remember the Boney M song, by the rivers of Babylon. Well, there you are. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept as we remembered Zion. Zion is Jerusalem. And that was Psalm 137. And the emotions expressed in those words are echoed throughout history for those who have been forced to make a tragic journey on account of threats and violence and destructions in their homelands. Paul, writing much later in the New Testament to the Christians in Corinth, sums it up with these words: we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. So that's what the exiles would have been going through when they were in Babylon. And you've only got to think of those words today and put it into context of the refugees that are pouring out of the likes of Syria, millions of them, and Myanmar pouring out of there, going into a neighbouring country. And Psalm 124 vividly describes what pressures they were under. When men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. So often we despair at what's happening around us and to us, and it's hard to put into words just how we feel. Not so with the psalmist, with King David. He vents his despair to God rather than bottling up. You can almost hear him shouting to God, "Look, look what's happening. Where are you? We need your help. I need your help." Now, this is the important thing to know. He's not blaming God. He's not blaming God for the predicament that the Israelites find themselves in or the predicament he finds himself in. So often you hear this: bad things happen to good people. And God is put in the dock, and the leading question is asked, why? Why did you let this happen? Now, there's a book in the Bible that explores why bad things happen to good people. The book of Job, spelt Job, but it's Job. He was a good and pious man who worshipped God, but many bad things happened to him. He had 12 children, all of them killed. He lost his home, he lost his wealth, he had a lot of cattle, all gone. And if that wasn't enough, he was afflicted with boils. How bad is that? But despite his friends, Job's comforters, and his wife's pleas, he would not blame God. He did in part of the book, but then he came back to God. But nothing that happened to him could take away from him the faith he had in God. And the point is this, that with Job, and sometimes with us, that faith like Job's can't be shaken. Can't be shaken. That can apply to us. We've all had suffering in our lives. And we've all, when we've gone through that suffering, have perhaps questioned God. God, why? Why? The faith that Job has is a result of having been shaken. Having been shaken. your faith grows. He didn't lose his faith in God, but that didn't stop him crying out, as we do. I cry out to you, O God, but you do not answer. And this is what the Psalms are about, thanking God in the good times when all is going nicely, but also voicing our anxieties. And really, you've got to say thanking him in the bad times. I'm going to show a bit of a clip in a minute. You'll see what I mean. Thanking him when we've got the anxieties there, when we've been shaken up by our frustrations that meet us in our daily lives. And that includes, of course, suffering. And as Christians, we know more about that than many, about the struggles of life. Not just in our own life, but in the lives of others. For like Christ before us, we all walk the road marked with suffering. But it's about digging deeper with God, being honest with him, and it's about crying out to him, help. But here's the good news. He provides us with that help. As the psalmist repeats at the beginning, if the Lord had not been on our side, if the Lord had not been on our side when, if the Lord had not been on our side when, and that's where faith comes in. Paul, this time in his letter to the Roman, pushes it a bit further. If God is for us, who can be against us? God is on our side, that's the message. God is on our side when bad things happen. God is on our side when suffering takes place. God is on our side when things go pear-shaped. But the question is often asked, if God is on our side, where is he when I need help? Now, a few years ago, at my daughter's wedding reception, Pauline and myself shared a table with a fireman and his wife, who we know. I was asked, he isn't a Christian as far as I know, but I was in that place at the time of evangelizing at every turn. So we got talking about God. And the question I was asked by the fireman was this: where is God when I carry a lifeless child out of a burning building? Now, my answer to him was this: he is there with you. The arms you carried that child in are God's arms. The compassion and courage you showed are God's compassion and courage that he shares with you. And the tears that you shed are God's tears. God is on our side. Yes, we know bad things happen. We've all suffered physically and emotionally, but God is not to blame. Sometimes it's in that suffering that God reveals himself, like through the fireman. Not so much to us, but within us. Now, we often think that God is part of our story, when in fact, we're part of his story, which he makes known to each and every one of us through our everyday, workaday lives. This is the clip I'm going to show. Some of you may have seen it before. It's from a series called Rev. I'll always be here. And he is. God is with us. Now, we may feel that God has gone walkabout, but in reality, we've come face to face with him in our sorrow. And it's not always easy to recognize him when you're crying. But when those tears evaporate, God's grace condenses. And in the words of Stormzy, we're sometimes blinded by that grace. Perhaps in a way that we may never have come to see, other than in or except through. through that of suffering. We all walk the road marked with suffering, just as Christ did for us and mankind's sin. Phil spoke, I think it was last week, on Psalm 121, and it carries that verse, "Where does my help come from?" And the psalmist answered his own question, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord." Amen.